kids just find it, you know. So maybe I should say Christians just find the food. So be a good time of fellowship for us after we have our fellowship here. Today we continue studying how Jesus is a better priest than all the priests of the Old Testament. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, today we'll look at verses 11 through 14. Hebrews 10, 11 through 14. Before we study, let's spend a few moments in silent prayer, calming our hearts before the Lord. Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank you for your love to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. For these moments we can calm our hearts before you and come to your throne of grace through the Lord Jesus Christ and under the leading of the Holy Spirit to worship you, the true and living God. Please forgive us of our sins and iniquities and blot out our transgressions. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within us, that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. As we come to worship you in the reading and teaching of your holy word, I pray that you will cause us to focus on you and your word, that your Holy Spirit will give us instructions concerning the Lord Jesus Christ and all he is and what he's accomplished for us. Father, I pray that your children will be spiritually refreshed and renewed. And anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior, that they would come to know him personally, to be freed from the bondage of sin and death. May you be honored in our worship. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this week we've been studying about Christ. Monday we looked at John the Baptist introducing Christ as, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," seeing it's only through Christ we are freed from the bondage of sin and death, reflecting back on the Passover lamb of Exodus 12 and the lambs that were offered for daily sacrifices under the Levitical law. Then yesterday, we were looking at those that have been sanctified, and we saw how sanctification means to be set apart. We're God's own possession, and we have a holy purpose given to us by God. So today, we're going to look at this in another part of being sanctified. So if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, beginning in verse 11. "And every priest stands daily at his service, offering repeatedly the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, waiting from that time until his enemies should be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected all time those who are being sanctified." Amen. Well, let's look at this. First of all, in verse 11, we see that the priests were daily offering sacrifices. So these sacrifices never took away sin at all, because they had to keep offering the sacrifices. Then we go into verse 12, and we see that when Jesus Christ offered a better sacrifice, one single offer of a sacrifice, he sat down at the right hand of God. Now, it's interesting that Jesus offered himself, the Lamb of God, the sacrifice for our sins. And when he finished that work, he was crucified, he died, he was buried, he was raised on the third day. He eventually ascended into heaven, where he sits at the right hand of God. Now, there's two things here. First of all, he's at the right hand of God. The right hand is a position of honor. It's also a position of authority and power. And so, Jesus said in Matthew 28, All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he's omnipotent. He has all power and all authority. But what about the sitting down? That's very significant, because when one sits down, usually it's indicative of having finished their work. And so when Jesus sat down, as recorded here, it's indicative that that one sacrifice, and it's over. And that completed that part of his work. So he sat down. Then we go into verse 13. We're told that he's, from that time he sat down, he's waiting until all of his enemies have been made a footstool for his feet. Now, being made a footstool for his feet, and the enemies are the footstool, once again, showing the sovereignty of God, the power of God, because his feet's on them, showing submissiveness to God. And so when that is completed, then the second coming will take place. Then we look in verse 14. For by a single offering, one single offering, once again, this is referring to Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, he has perfected for all time. Now we need to look at the verb has perfected. That verb literally means to qualify someone for something. To qualify someone for something. So what has Jesus qualified for us? Two things. First of all, is to stand before God and to stand in his presence. Not everybody's allowed to stand before God. Remember, God is holy, holy, holy. He will not allow anyone or anything that is defiled, that has sin, to be before him. No one or nothing. And Jesus offering himself as a sacrifice qualified us to stand before him. And the second part of that is to dwell in his presence. So not only are we qualified through the sacrifice of Christ himself to stand before God, but we are allowed, we have been qualified by Christ to live in his presence. And so as we think about these two things, we are always in the presence of God, who is holy, holy, holy. And we looked yesterday of being sanctified, being set apart, and how we continue in this is by God's grace. But we have a responsibility of confessing our sin and asking for forgiveness of those sins. And we are forgiven. So this is another thing that Christ has qualified for us, not only to just to be in his presence, but to live in his presence, which means for each of us never to leave his presence, to live there. Now he goes on in the last part of verse 14, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, yesterday when we looked at the verb that Christ has sanctified us, that verb form defines a definite act. Now this verb form is different. And we see here that this refers to those who are being sanctified. So it shows a continual action of being sanctified. Yes, we've been forgiven. Our sins have been removed. We've been qualified to dwell in the presence of God. But then there's another process of sanctification. And that is a process whereby the believers in Christ are being conformed to the image of Christ by the Holy Spirit. So let's look at some verses looking at this process of sanctification and how God works in that. So first, let's go to Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, I want us to look at verses 26 through 29. to get the context of this. Christians are bad of what Dr. J. Adams calls placosis. Placosis is taking a verse of Scripture out of context, putting it on a plaque, and sticking it on the wall in your home or in your office. And you don't get the whole context, so you might not be telling the whole truth by that one verse. So I'll stop at that before I get to meddling, okay? But let's look at verse in Romans 8, 26 through 29, because it gives the process of being sanctified. In this passage of Scripture, we read in verse 26, "Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now let's stop there. Strong emphasis on praying, which we are a praying church and you are a praying people. And we see God answer a lot of prayers in a lot of different ways. And so it's very important that we, as individual believers and as a church, continue to be brothers and sisters in Christ who are brothers and sisters in prayer. And we see how the Holy Spirit intercedes and understands us. Now, with that prayer life, now look at verse 28 and look at the word "and." That is very significant because it joins verse Romans 8, 28 to praying. "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." So as you and I pray and we petition the Lord for certain things, we're told by the Lord, "Bring your petitions to me." And we do that. And when we do that, in verse 28, we know that as God answers these petitions, it works out for our good. Now, it might not be what we wanted or even what we asked for, but the way God answers them are for our good. And then we go to verse 29. "For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son, in order that He might be the firstborn among many brothers." So as you and I pray, and as God answers those prayers, two things here that we see about answered prayer. Number one, it's for our good. Period. However God answers our prayer, it's for our good. And number two, God is using that to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. God is indeed omnipotent and He's sovereign. Nothing can come into the life of a believer without it first coming through the hand of God. He's not the author of sin. We are. But God uses everything in our lives to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. You hear people ask the question, "If you had anything to change in your life, what would it be?" The answer to that question is nothing. Because if we say, "Well, if I had my life and I could plan it over, this is what I'd do," we're saying to God, "Your plan's not good enough for me. I'd rather have this." Now, I don't think any of us would want to say that to the Lord. So we shouldn't want to change anything in our lives, because what God has foreordained for us is the best for us based on this Scripture, and it's to conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. So here we are. Jesus has offered Himself as a sacrifice, and part of that sacrifice, freeing us from the bondage of sin and death, giving us spiritual life, is also conforming us to His image, sanctifying us. Now, is anybody in here perfect today? Anybody in here without sin? No, we're not, so we're not there yet. So he's going to continue to work in us, which leads us to the next passage, and that's Philippians chapter 1. So turn to Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. The Apostle Paul writing to the believers at Philippi, encouraging them in their walk with the Lord, and it's kind of a thank you note for their support of him. Look in verse 6 of Philippians chapter 1. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God begins a work in an individual by making them aware of their sin, making them aware of the need for salvation, and then making them aware that the only way you can have that salvation is in Jesus Christ and him alone. You know what bothers me is somebody says, what kind of faith do you have? Are you Presbyterian, Baptist? Or what? I don't read that in Scripture. It's faith in Christ alone, not denominational faith. And God places that in you and me. When he begins that work in us, he gives us that ability to believe who he is and what he has done. And we have confidence in him that that's true. And that's when that work begins. And we know, Paul says, I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will complete it. And he's going to complete that work. Every day that he gives you and me another day to live, he's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And whatever it takes to conform us to that image, God's going to allow it to come into our lives. And therefore, we need to be thankful how he's working in our lives, because he's conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. And notice when he's going to complete it, at the day of Christ. Now, there are two ways to look at this. One is our own death. Because when we die, as a believer dies, he or she immediately goes into the presence of God. And that work of sanctification is complete. You're in a glorification. You're glorified. There is no sin in us at that point. And that work is completed. Or if God should ordain for each of us to be alive at the second coming of Christ, then our sanctification will be completed immediately upon the second coming of Christ, when we're all caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. But that work is definitely going to be completed by Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of God working in us. Now, let's look at chapter 2 of Philippians. Lest we think, well, this is good. I'll just sit here in this pew every Sunday and I'll let the Holy Spirit conform me. I don't have any responsibility in this. It doesn't work that way. Look at Philippians 2, verses 11 and 12. Excuse me, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This life that the Lord has given to you and to me, what are you and I doing with it? We have the responsibility of working it out. Notice that that word out is very important. It doesn't say work for. It says work out. As you and I study Scripture, as the Holy Spirit teaches us from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit directs us and enables us to be obedient to the Word of God. And we are obedient. We are submissive. That's working it out. That's working it out. And so we work out our salvation. How do we work it out? In verse 13. For it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Notice how God works in us. First of all, he works in you both to will. The word to will there, that infinitive, means the desire of your heart. He changes the desire of our heart from the things of the world to the things of God. He changes our desire to please self from pleasing self to pleasing the Lord. And he gives us a heart and a desire to love the Lord and to obey him and to walk with him, as opposed to walking in the flesh and just doing what we want and what we like. So he changes the attitude of the heart. And you know, brothers and sisters, there's not a human being that can do that. That comes from the Spirit of God working in us. And that's how he's working. So he changes our heart. And when he changes, and as he changes our heart, notice the next thing that we're responsible for is to work for his good pleasure. Am I working for his good pleasure? Every day that you and I live, everything that you and I accomplish, is it for the pleasure of pleasing God or pleasing self? Now, when our hearts are united with Christ, we want to please Christ. And so we're going to please him. But every now and then that flesh kicks in. And we just do what we're going to do. And we rebel against God. As we grow in Christ, that should diminish. And our desire in our daily living is to please God and to work for his good pleasure. So this is the process of sanctification, whereby God conforms us to the image of his Son through the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And so in this passage of Hebrews, we're qualified to stand before him, to dwell in his presence. And as we stand before him and dwell in his presence, and the Spirit of God conforms us to his image, we live our lives in a manner that's pleasing and honoring to God. And all of this is part of Jesus dying for our sins and being raised from the dead. So I would encourage all of you, as you live before the Lord, you continue to live lives pleasing and honoring to him. Continue to do that. And always remember, every time God works in me, he's conforming me to the image of his Son. Shall we stand? Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this time to worship you and to be reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice of giving himself one time for our sin, and how he has freed us from the bondage of sin and death, and how you have given us life through Christ, implanted in us by your Holy Spirit. And then this life that you've given to us is a process as the Spirit of God conforms us to the image of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for this time and this lesson. I pray that as you have taught us from your word, you will enable us to be obedient to it, to honor you because of our love for you. Thank you for the fellowship with you and one another here as we've studied your word and worship. Now I pray that as we go up to the fellowship hall and continue the fellowship around the table, we will be blessed by your presence there. We thank you for those who prepare the food and for the food itself, that you bless it to the nourishment of our bodies and us for the work of your kingdom. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.